When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world, he came with an external purpose and an internal purpose, as we all know. Externally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came on the call of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was such a Vaishnav. He read in the Gautamiya Tantra, Tulasi Dala Matrena Jalasya Chulukena Va, that if you just offer some Ganga Jal and Tulsi leaves to Krishna, Krishna becomes conquered. So Advaita Acharya said, I'll do that and I'll call the Lord. By my loud calls, the Lord will come. So in answer to the calls of Advaita Acharya and to propagate the Harinam Sankirtan, Prithivityachyata, as Prabhupada said, everywhere and anywhere, externally Mahaprabhu appeared in this world for that purpose. Just a side note, when we say external and internal, we should never think that external means some kind of superficial or less important. It just means it's the reason from which we all benefit. But the internal reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, as we know, is to relish the position, the experience that Srimati Radharani has in her relationship with Krishna. So now for a moment, I want you to think very deeply about this. Mahaprabhu comes with an external purpose and he comes with an internal purpose. Now let me share with you that as you go through the pastimes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you will see this dual dimension of the external and the internal in many, many things. Not only does Mahaprabhu have an external and internal reason why he appears in this world, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, he also has an external and an internal reason. Externally, he takes sannyas because as a sannyasi, he will have authority and he will have freedom. And through that authority and freedom, he will be able to inundate every town and village with Krishna consciousness, and most importantly, he will be able to convert the Mayavadis, because the Mayavadis are the most stubborn. But internally, Mahaprabhu takes sannyas because he wants to intensify the Radha Bhav. What we find is that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, after Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, then the intensification of his experience of Radha Bhav goes to higher and higher levels. So Mahaprabhu descends, external reason, internal reason. Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, external reason, internal reason. Now think, Mahaprabhu makes Jagannath Puri his headquarters. External reason, because his mother said, if you take sannyas and you go and stay in Vrindavan and I never hear about you again, you will break my heart. I already, 8 of my daughters died. Already my son Vishwaroop took sannyas at age 12 and I never saw him again. If I never see you again, I won't be able to live. You stay in Jagannath Puri, because Puri and Navadvip are like two rooms in the same house. Externally, Mahaprabhu made Puri his headquarters because his mom told him. Next time your mom tells you to do something, that's the external reason. Internally, why did Mahaprabhu make Jagannath Puri his headquarters? Because Vrindavan is known as Madhurya Dham, the place of sweetness. Navadvip is known as Audarya Dham, the place of magnanimity. But Jagannath Puri is known as Viraha Kshetra, Vipralamba Kshetra. It's the place where separation reaches its apex. Because who is Jagannath? Jagannath is Krishna in separation from Srimati Radharani. So, when Mahaprabhu stays in Jagannath Puri, there's an external reason and an internal reason. Rathiyatra. There is an external reason why Mahaprabhu does Rathiyatra and an internal reason. What's the external reason? Everyone and anyone in India comes to Jagannath Rath Yatra, isn't it? He said that even till this day, Jagannath Rath Yatra is the biggest festival on earth. Even bigger than India playing at Eden Gardens or whoever it may be, 1 million people, over 1 million people come to Jagannath Rath Yatra. So Mahaprabhu knew, if I want to preach from one place and reach everywhere, then the one place I should do it is Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra, because everyone comes there. So that's why he did it. Mahaprabhu displayed the ecstasy, the Prem Sankirtan. Jishnu was talking about the Prem Sankirtan. Patraparudra saw the Sankirtan party, isn't it, of Mahaprabhu. He looked at Bhattacharya. He said, who are these people? I've never seen anyone like this in my life. Bhattacharya kohe e madhura vachan. Chaitanya shrishti e prem sankirtan. Bhattacharya told him, a madhura vachan, this very sweet sound which you're hearing, Chaitanya Shrishti, this is a special creation. This is not a creation of this world. This is a creation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a prem sankirtan. This is chanting in love from the heart, as they say. So Mahaprabhu just did that sankirtan at Rath Yatra and inundated everyone with love. But Rath Yatra had an internal reason. What was the internal reason? Rath Yatra was mirroring the incident where Krishna and the gopis met after a long break of not seeing each other. They met at Kurukshetra. The gopis and the Vrajabasis saw Krishna. They were very happy, but very disappointed also. Because they looked at Krishna and they said, you are the same Krishna and we are the same Brijabasis, but we are not in Vrindavan. We long to be with you, but to be with you in Vrindavan underneath the Kalpa Vriksha trees. And therefore they were pulling, trying to bring Krishna. So Gundicha represents Vrindavan, isn't it? And then Rath Yatra pulling. Do you see now? If you look at Chaitanya Charitamrita, in everything there is an external dimension and there is an internal dimension. Whether it's Mahaprabhu's purpose in descending, whether it's Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, whether it's Mahaprabhu making Jagannath Puri his headquarters, whether it's Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Rath Yatra, there's an external and an internal. If we look at our life, this becomes very, very important. Our life also has an external and an internal. The external is that somehow or other, as members of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, we have to share the mercy. We have to expand the mercy. We have to pass on the great prema dhan in the form of the Harinam Sankirtan. Somehow or other, we have to be ingenious. We have to be creative. We have to be enthused, inspired, dynamic, and in some way try and reach as many people as we can. And there's also a deep internal purpose in our life, which is to actually develop some love for Krishna. The devotees on many occasions asked Srila Prabhupada, 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 what will please you the most? Everyone had an answer in their mind and they just wanted Prabhupada to say it, to confirm. And Prabhupada said, if you become a pure devotee of Krishna, anya abhilashita shunyam, a pure devotee in which every other desire has become zero. Now, when you look at Mahaprabhu's life, the amazing thing that you see is that the internal and the external reasons combine. They complement each other. They actually can be done hand in hand. And not only they can be done hand in hand, they go hand in hand. And therefore, when we look at our life, what we have to realize is that the external selfless giving in Krishna consciousness and the internal deep development of our own Krishna consciousness goes hand in hand. You can't separate them. When you preach, you get mercy. And with that mercy, you can actually go deep in your spiritual life. And when you go deep in your spiritual life and you are relishing the sweetness of Krishna, Yenad Buddha, Madhuri Ma, the sweetness of Krishna's character, you will be impelled to give it to others. And like this, the Krishna conscious journey goes on. So somehow this is what we're learning from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Mahaprabhu has come and he is doing many things in one go. And all of these things are complementing every other thing. And when our life becomes like that, somehow what we have to do in our life is create a life in which everything is contributing to either giving Krishna consciousness or becoming Krishna conscious. Right? Our life will not change necessarily overnight. Yeah? Once there was a beautiful sculpture. And then, once there was a beautiful sculpture. And then one man, he came to the sculptor and he said, "Wow, amazing, brilliant, perfect. How did you do it? How did you create this sculpture?" And the man, the sculptor, he looked at the other man and he said, "It's simple." And he pointed to a block of wood. And he said, "You see that block of wood? All I did was I chipped away at everything that wasn't the sculpture." And this man looked at him and he said, "You make it sound so easy." The lesson is, in our life, what we need to do gradually is transform our life and maybe take away certain things. Those aspects of our life that aren't connected to Krishna, either the external giving or the internal depth of relishing Krishna consciousness, those things that don't connect to those two things, you have to transform them and make them connect. Whether it's your career, whether it's your job, whether it's your hobbies, whether it's what you do in your spare time, everything, try and transform it in such a way that it contributes to your life purpose, which is to give spirituality and to experience deep spirituality. And then the aspects of your life that can't be connected, gradually you let them fall away. And then what happens is over time, you build a life which is just like that beautiful sculpture. Everything is contributing to your spiritual life. Prabhupada once said in a very famous quote, "This life, this human life, is like a block of hardwood. And the devotee has to somehow or other carve Krishna out of it." So I love that quote. A sculpture, you can't make it overnight. You've got to keep chipping away bit by bit. And that's what we have to do in our life. Chip away, transform, adjust, fine-tune, and over time, create a very Krishna-conscious life. And so, this is the opportunity before us, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that somehow or other, giving Krishna consciousness and experiencing deep Krishna consciousness, these are our two objectives. Therefore, janma sarthaka karikar para upakar. Mahaprabhu said, first make your life successful and then help other people, as many as you can. So these are some things I wanted to share with you, the external and the internal, because when we read these chapters of renunciation and propagation, these are some of the main teachings that are coming out. And one final thing I'll say. Jishnu mentioned very nicely that Mahaprabhu met the Kurma Brahmana. The Kurma Brahmana just fell in love with Mahaprabhu. Kurma Brahmana, he wanted to leave with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, he was a sannyasi. He had just taken sannyas. And when Kurma Brahmana said, look, I'll take sannyas. I'll come with you. I'll be your assistant. Mahaprabhu didn't clap his hands and, oh, here we go, another sannyasi, great, another sannyasi for the mission. No. Mahaprabhu told him, stay. Jishnu Prabhu quoted that verse. Jare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agyaya guru tana are e desh. Just tell everyone about Krishna. And then what does he say in the next verse? Kabuna badibe tomar vishaya taranga punarapi ethane pabe mora sangha. If you remember this instruction to preach to everyone, vishaya taranga, the waves of materialistic life in your family affairs won't affect you. Very soon you'll meet me again. So when you read that, it's very interesting. Because someone will say, Prabhu, Grihastha Ashram, these are all my problems. And what is Mahaprabhu saying? Jare deka tare kaha, Krishna, just preach. Just preach and all of these problems will go. And then you're thinking, where's the link? How is it that just by preaching, a Grihastha will overcome all their problems? But something amazing happens when you preach, when you share, when we become selfless. Something amazing happens when you begin to try to help other people solve their problems. Your problems become solved automatically. When you try to help other people become happy, your happiness comes automatically. When you try to give bhakti to others, your own stock of bhakti increases automatically. When we share Krishna consciousness, we get grace, we get Mahaprabhu's favor, we get mercy. And in that grace and mercy, it makes up for all of our weakness. It makes up for everywhere where we're falling short. When we preach, we become so absorbed that we forget about our problems. You see, the reason we see problems in our life is because we're not sufficiently absorbed in Krishna. Once there was a big building, 100 floors. So then the people in the building were complaining that, oh, the lift is going too slow. It's going too slow. Speed up the lift. So they were complaining to the office manager. So he said, yeah, don't worry. I'll call in the technician. So what did he do? Next day, he went to the DIY store and he bought a big mirror. And he put the mirror in the lift. And then 1 week later, there were no complaints. He went to the people and said, everything all right? They're good. Yeah, great. You called that technician in. The lift is just going so fast now. And then they realized the speed did not change. But because when people are in the lift and they're absorbed, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Absorbed in your own beauty, time flies. When you're absorbed, you don't see problems. So when we become absorbed in the Krishna consciousness movement, sharing Krishna, we become so absorbed that everything disappears. And so let us think very deeply about this. Mahaprabhu had an external purpose and Mahaprabhu had an internal purpose. And in our life, we have an external order from Prabhupada, from our acharyas, from Mahaprabhu, and we have an internal order. And when we do them perfectly together, spiritual life becomes magical and we experience the totality of what Krishna consciousness can be. And so, yes, I will stop here. And with these words, invite anyone, as we have a bit of time, if you have any comments, any questions, any realizations, Pran Govind Prabhu tells me that all of you are the, you know, the inner circle of the Chaitanya Charitamrita relishers. So I'm sure you will have something. So please, I would love to hear from all of you and whether you have any questions or comments. Over to you.
Very well, Prabhu. Thank you so much. So anybody has any questions or comments?
If you don't ask me questions, I'll do a quiz on all the sections that you've covered and see whether you remember.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
I have a question.
Yes.
Oh, okay, now the questions come in. Now the questions are coming in. Okay. Pran Govind Prabhu, you have the questions and you have the answers. This is again like a Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu situation, you know. The roles are becoming reversed. I think Pran Govind Prabhu is struggling to hear you.
Pran Govind Prabhu? He's actually driving. I think his network is... we can't hear you, Pran Govind Prabhu.
Prabhu, I've really fallen so insignificant. So, don't please. You're talking about deep.
Okay, I think Ram Govinda Prabhu, we are not able to hear you. If you can send me the question, I will ask Sutava Prabhu on your behalf.
Okay, Pran Govind Prabhu, we cannot hear you so well. Maybe you can put it on the chat or you can... okay, he's come off. I think he'll come back on.
Yeah. I see one where Prajita Prabhu has... Sorry, yes, Prabhu. Prajita Prabhu has raised a hand. Prajita Prabhu?
Yes. Dhanubhat Pranam to Sutapa Prabhu and all the devotees are present here today on this group here, and it is really my great pleasure and honor to be in the group here, to be with Sutapa Prabhu, and definitely so happy to be able to get the opportunity to hear from Sutapa Prabhu and Pran Govind Prabhu simultaneously. I've known you, Sutapa Prabhu, for quite some time, especially was introduced by Gopal Radhe Prabhu, and then I've been following and know a lot of so much work you have done to help the devotees in the societies, in the service for Srila Prabhupada in the ISKCON movement. And not too many devotees here are known, so just wanted to introduce myself and wanted to put out there that yes, there is a fan here in New Orleans. I try to follow as much as I can. Recently, I was listening about the interview with the GBC Statistics Committee that was interviewed you. It was so wonderful to hear that, and I wish that was a little longer. And hope and pray to you that you come on more often and give us some more association. The way you are offering the service in the society is so helpful, putting everything in a perspective. So for devotees who want to study further and pursue with this study, either Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, it is made it so easy. So really, thanks and grateful for all the things you are doing. So just simple question, if you can kindly, you know, put some more into it, more input into it. Like, if I am observed in the Krishna conscious thought and life activities, then it would be easy for me to forget the rest of the problem. But I am deep into the thought and into the material problem, observed completely. So how can I use my time and progress in Krishna consciousness and shift my thought and process to preach or to cultivate Krishna consciousness in my own life?
Thank you, Pachaita Prabhu. Thank you for your kind words and encouragement and your question. Thank you, Prabhu. I appreciate that. I think, Prabhuji, we're all in it together. We all have a similar problem. You know, I live here in the temple somehow by Krishna's mercy for quite some years. And it's not that even in the temple, everything is easy. You know, there are many difficulties. You know, sometimes the temple is Vaikuntha. Sometimes it shows flashes of Kurukshetra as well. Sometimes anything can happen. Every day we must connect with the holy name and with the Shastra. You see, the holy name and the Shastra, they are like a plane. A plane does two things. The first thing it does is it carries you high. And when it carries you high, then you are able to see everything in the bigger perspective. You see? And the second thing the plane does is it doesn't just carry you high, but it takes you far. So the Shastra and the holy name, the first thing they do for us is they give us a very broader perspective in life. You see, we become absorbed in the problems of this world because our vision is not broad enough. When we are seeing that this life is just temporary, these problems come and go like the winter and summer seasons, and I have a deeper purpose in this life. And I've achieved so much fortune by coming in contact with devotees, by coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada, by coming in contact with ISKCON. And when you're regularly seeing the fortune of this, then you don't get so fixed on the problems of life. But what happens is you are able to see the bigger picture of where your life can go if we take it seriously. And so every day we must begin with Shastra. We must begin with the holy name. Because then when you go out throughout the day, whatever you see, you will see it from a spiritual perspective. But if you don't see it from a spiritual perspective, you will see it from a material perspective. And then it will begin to hijack your consciousness. You see? Like say, for example, I have this bottle here, okay? So if this bottle is full of water and I put one palm full of salt, okay, and I drink this water, what will happen? It will taste very salty. Now you see this room behind me? Imagine I filled this whole room with water and then I put one palm full of salt in it. And then I tasted the water, I wouldn't even taste the salt. In other words, when our consciousness becomes very deep, when our consciousness becomes very vast, when our spirituality is growing, then the problems of life, which are like a palm full of salt, they won't have any effect. So yes, we must become deeper in our consciousness. That's the ultimate way. I hope that helps, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Yes. Is that someone else would like to ask a question?
Yes, Radhachandra.
Can I ask a question? Yes, Haribol, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Haribol.
Thank you. Nice to, really nice to hear you. I just wondered if you could kindly repeat those three things, Jagannath Puri Dham, Avadharya Dham, and in the beginning, that Mahaprabhu's Avadharya Leelas were exhibited in Navadvip, like that.
Yes. Every dham is having a speciality. Every dham is having its own character. Ultimately, all of the dhams are non-different, yet they have their own personality. So Vrindavan is known as Madhurya Dham, the place of sweetness, because Krishna is Leela Purushottam. He's the Supreme Lord who performs unparalleled pastimes. So the sweetness is fully exhibited in Vrindavan. The sweetness of what Krishna does, the beauty, the charm, the cheekiness, all of these things are coming in Vrindavan. Therefore, Vrindavan is known as the place of Madhurya, very sweet. Navadvip is known as the place of Audarya. Why? Because when Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, isn't it? He received the mantra from his guru, Ishwarapuri. And he started chanting it and he went mad. Kiba mantra dila gosai kiba tarabal, japite japite mantra korite pagal. He went to his guru, he said, Kiba mantra, what kind of mantra you given me, Gosai? Kiba tarabal, what kind of strength does this mantra have? Japite, japite, mantra, korite pagal, I'm chanting and I'm becoming mad. So he became mad. Ishwarapuri said, very good, it's working. That's the goal of life, become mad after Krishna. So Mahaprabhu came back to Navadvip. And when Mahaprabhu came to Navadvip, what happened? The Panchatattva came together. Mahaprabhu came as a devotee. Srivas was already there doing kirtans in his home. Advaita Acharya, great devotee. He had caused the Lord to descend. Gadada Pandit, he was with Nimai since childhood. Radharani, the only person that wasn't there was Nityananda. Nityananda came. They all came together, Panchatattva. And then in Navadvip, there was an explosion. Patra patra vichar nahi nahi stan stan. Je jone kare tane kare prema dhan. They never considered this place, that place, this person, that person. Wherever they went, they gave Krishna prema. Therefore, Navadvip became the place of Audarya. The place where great magnanimity, great overflowing of mercy. So therefore, Navadvip Dham is known as Audarya Dham. And Puri is known as Viraha Kshetra because Jagannath is the form of the Lord who went into ecstasy hearing about the love of the residents of Braj. Maybe you know this. Krishna was in Dwarka and he had 16,000 queens. Yet sometimes in the middle of the night, he was saying, Gopi, Gopi, or naming some Madhumangal, Subal, Sudam. So they thought, what is it? Krishna has everything here. Why? What is it about the Brajabasis that has captured his mind? So they said, Rohini Mata, you were there. You were there in Braj. What is it? Narrate to us what was happening in Braj. Rohini Devi said, I cannot narrate. If Krishna and Balaram here, they will go into ecstasy. I can't take that risk. They said, no, we will create a conference. We will all be in a room. You speak. we will put Subhadra on the door. She will keep a lookout. And if Krishna and Balaram come, we'll stop. You don't worry. So she began. Hari Katha, Braja Katha, all the pastimes the queens of Dwaraka were hearing. They were amazed. Subhadra was at the door. She was amazed. And as Subhadra began hearing everything that Rohini Mata was saying about Krishna and his love for the gopis, Subhadra went into ecstasy. So her eyes became big, her body became stunted. And so she was on the door, but she was in complete ecstasy. Then Krishna and Balaram came, but she was in ecstasy. So she could not tell them, no, no, Krishna and Balaram have come. So Krishna and Balaram saw Subhadra. They were wondering, why is she like that? They came closer. Then they began hearing the narrations of the pastimes of Braj. And as Krishna and Balaram heard the pastimes, they were standing next to Subhadra. They also went into ecstasy. Their body became stunted, eyes big. So there they were, three of them, Subhadra, Balaram, and Krishna. Big eyes, stunted bodies, complete ecstasy of separation. Narad Muni came along and he said, one day these forms will manifest in Jagannath Puri. And therefore Puri becomes known as the place of Viraha, the place of Vipralamba, the place of separation. So like this, Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham, Navadvip is Audarya Dham, and Puri is Viraha Kshetra. I hope that's okay, Prabhu.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Perfect, perfect explanation. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Siddhava Prabhu.
Oh, Jishnu Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
I don't know which, when you came in, or because I was like, I don't know if he's present or not.
Oh, I was listening. You're good.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you were listening, then you definitely know that it's all because of your lectures that I was able to say any of this. Like, I really went through your lectures more, like your Chaitanya Charitamrita, the compact lectures, and I was just going through, and you can, I don't know if you noticed, but it was like the same dialogue you were using, because you really know how to tell a story and make it so enlivening, and it's like, I can't do the same thing, but it's the least I can do is just follow the dialogue. It's just, you make it sound so, so nice, and I just really want to thank you for that. Because of you, I'm able to, you know, present it.
Thank you so much for your service. Thank you.
We have Prangovinda Prabhu back again. Prangovinda Prabhu, would you like to ask the question? Or I don't know if his network's going to be any better. Okay. Yes, thank you so much, Sutava Prabhu. You have been really, really appreciate all your contributions, especially breaking down all these books, you know, growing up, being born and brought up in ISKCON, seeing these books sometimes intimidated me. Bhagavatam, 12 big, big volumes, and sometimes like in the old version, each volume also had 2-3 books. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, another set of whole golden books. But you so nicely put them all in such a compact way, which makes it so relishable and easy to understand and get a very good view of it and then dive in deeper. So thank you very much. So first 2 days, we had about the first 4 topics that we discussed. It would be really, I'm very interested in looking at the quiz that you're going to put in front. But if, before that, if you could just run through a short synopsis of the first four parts, like the parts before, if you could just.
Oh, you want me to do a quiz? I was just joking. But if you want me to do, I can try and do something.
Sure. We would like you to do the quiz as well. And a little bit, we have like around 30 more minutes. So if you want...
Okay, I got to go to a meeting in 15 minutes, but I can do it for 15 minutes.
Okay, that will be nice, Ruby. Yes.
All right, so which sections you covered all of the Adi Leela, right?
Yes, we covered all the Adi Leela, yes. And we started Madhya Leela today, yes.
All right, so shall I begin asking you questions on Adi Leela?
You can try, let's see, yes.
All right, let me just pull up my PowerPoint. Let's see. You see, some of these things you may not, because I teach it in a specific way. Let's see. Okay. All right, let me just ask questions. Yeah. All right. What are the first 12 chapters of the Adi Leela all about? Anyone can answer. You just unmute yourself and answer. What are the first 12 chapters of the Adi Leela? What is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami talking about in those chapters?
The invocation prayers.
Yes, wonderful. Yes, the first 12 chapters are invocation prayers. And who can tell me some of the things that Kaviraj Goswami explains in the invocation? What kind of things does he discuss in those 12 chapters? Anything. It can be anything.
The Panchatattva?
Yes, the Panchatattva are described in chapter number 7, I think it is. Yeah. And Nityananda, Advaita Acharya. Very good. Anything else? What else is described in the invocation chapters? I talked about one of the things in my talk today. Yeah, Jishnan?
I was going to say the relationships. There was some different relationships that was going on.
Relationships between who?
Like various associates of Mahaprabhu?
Yes, so we find in chapters number 9 to 12, we hear about the Bhakti Kalpataru. So all the different devotees who were the followers and the branches of the Chaitanya tree. Very good. What else is important? What other important things? Yeah, Gopal Radhe Prabhu.
Guru Tattva, but spiritual masters.
Yeah, we hear about the spiritual masters, offer respects to the spiritual masters. Very good. I would say there's another two important things. Yeah, is that?
He also discusses the internal and external reasons.
Wonderful, yeah. The internal and external reasons of why he appears in this world. And one more important thing that he establishes, something that most people are not aware of when it comes to Mahaprabhu. And one thing that's very important, even sometimes people who come to our temples are not aware about this.
He establishes his divinity.
Right, he established that he is actually God. He's actually the Supreme Lord. Here in our temple at the manor, we have Radha Krishna, we have Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and then we have small Gornita in the middle. So once I was taking darshan, and then one family came next to me. So one of them was introducing the deities to another. So he said, "This is Radha and Krishna." And then he said to his friend, "This is Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman." And then I was waiting, like, okay, what's he going to say next? And then he looked at Gornitai, Chota Gornitai in the middle, and he said, "And that's Love and Kush." And I was like, oh no, I should have said something, but I couldn't. I just couldn't say something. It wasn't the right time. But yeah, they were thinking that's Love and Kush. I was like, that's Gornitai, you know? So most people are not aware that Mahaprabhu is God, Mahaprabhu is Krishna. So in the invocation, Kaviraj Goswami gives all the evidences of why. Let me ask you that question. If someone asked you, why is Mahaprabhu God? What things would you do to establish that Mahaprabhu is God? Or how can you establish who is an avatar?
Avatars are mentioned in scriptures. So through scriptural evidence?
Scriptural evidence, very good. Anything else? How else would you?
Extraordinary activities.
Yeah, they do something extraordinary. They do something miraculous. What was the most extraordinary thing that Mahaprabhu did? You can ask, you can answer, Vishnupriya Mataji, because you said extraordinary activities. Of all extraordinary things that he did many extraordinary things. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says something.
He made the tigers and all the wild animals dance.
Yeah, that was definitely a miracle.
Delivered Jagai.
Sorry, you're gone.
The delivered Jagai and Madhai.
Delivered Jagai and Madhai, yeah. All of these are true. But the most extraordinary thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is the love. The love that Mahaprabhu had within him and the love that he invoked within others. That was the most. Because Mahaprabhu is known as Prema Purushottam, the Supreme Lord who is the embodiment of love. Yeah, so like this, if you want to know who's an incarnation scripture, they do extraordinary things. The Acharyas verify it. There's certain astrological things which verify who's an incarnation like that. Very good. Yeah, so this is the first 12 chapters of Adi Leela. And then who can tell me some of Mahaprabhu's childhood names? He had three main names when he was a child. Can you tell me the name and what the meaning of that name is? Anyone?
One name was Nimai, because he was born under the neem tree, which was given by Advaita Acharya's wife, Sita Thakurani.
Right, yeah, he was born underneath the neem tree. And he said there's another reason why he was called Nimai is because neem is antiseptic. And so because she had lost already 8 daughters, by giving the name Nimai, she was feeling that all the evil influences would be guarded off, warded off by that name. And so he wouldn't, nothing bad would happen like that. Very good. Other two names anyone knows of Mahaprabhu in his young age?
Gauranga for his complexion.
Gauranga, yeah. Anga means limbs and Gaura means golden. So because Krishna had come in the mood of Radharani, Radharani is known as Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. So when Gaurangi comes in Krishna's form, Krishna becomes Gauranga. Very good. And one more name?
Vishwambar.
Vishwambar. What does that mean?
Maintainer of the entire universe.
The?
Maintainer of the entire universe.
Hara also means to fill. So Vishvambhara also means not only he made it, but he fills the universe. And what does he fill the universe with? Love. And therefore, Mahaprabhu did say at once, he said, my name is Vishvambhara. So if I don't distribute love everywhere, I will not be able to live up to my name. So that's also another meaning. Very good. All right, good. Yeah, you guys got it all. What were the two biggest transformations in the first half of Nimai's life? Or the two main initiations?
The mantra initiation and his sannyas initiation.
Good. Now let me ask you a few more questions on that. Who was the mantra initiation from?
Ishwarpuri.
And where did he receive that initiation? Begins with
Gaya.
Gaya. Yeah. Right. And how old was he when he received that initiation?
16.
Yeah, it dates differ, but 16. Yeah, good. And sannyas initiation, Brinda was from who? Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, Keshav Bharati.
Esha Bharati, in which place? Have a guess. Begins with K.
Navati.
Was it Katua?
Can't take sannyas in your hometown. Not allowed.
Katua.
Katua, yes. Very good. And how old was Mahaprabhu when he took sannyas?
24.
When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, someone misdirected him. Who misdirected him? And where was he misdirected to? That must have been today, right? Jishnu, you spoke about this? Oh, you didn't speak about this?
I didn't know about this at all, actually.
You didn't know about this, huh?
Yeah, he spoke about it. He forgot.
He spoke about it, right? He must have spoken about this.
He was misdirected by Nityananda Prabhu.
Right.
And he ended up in Shantipur.
After sannyas, okay.
And then in Shantipur, Sachi Mata met, Nimai, who was now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sachi Mata requested two things. One thing I already told you, so don't give that answer, because I already told you that one. She told him to stay in Jagannath. But she requested one other thing from her son. Anyone know what it was? Mothers love to do this for their children.
To cook for him.
Oh,
for
the, right. She said, while you're here for 10 days, no one's allowed to cook for you, only me. Interesting. Interesting. Out of all the things she could have asked for, she asked for that. And then Mahaprabhu said, okay, I'll go to Puri. And from Puri, from Shantipur to Puri, two major stories were told on the way. What were those two stories?
Kirchora Gopinath and Sakshi Gopal.
Right. We had the story of Madhavendra Puri, Gopal and Gopinath, and the story of Sakshi Gopal. And then there was the pastime of Nityananda breaking Mahaprabhu's danda. Why did Nityananda break Mahaprabhu's danda? That wasn't very nice. Why did he do that? Anyone know?
To show that he wasn't a Mayavadi sannyasi, he was a Vaishnava sannyasi, right?
Oh, Mayavadi sannyasis go around with broken dandas, huh?
No, but like it's like
Vaishnava. No, go on, explain. No, I'm just joking with you. Go on,
okay. Can I cheat from my notes? I forgot why it was Ekadanda for Mayavadis, but for the three danda it meant to serve with mind, body, and words. But I mean, he did do that to show Mahaprabhu was never a Mayavadi sannyasi, right?
Okay, yeah, good point. Yeah, so he wanted to, although Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas in the Mayavad Ekadanda tradition, he wanted to show that no, Mahaprabhu is a personalist, so he broke his danda into three. There's another reason.
Can I say that, just correct me if I'm not wrong. I read it many times if I remember it, because the Lord Nityananda, he's being also, his incarnations or expansion is Anantashesh. So he's carrying the Lord on his hood. So he's upset to see the Lord is carrying something in his hand as a danda, the punishment, or carrying it all the time with him. So why he has to do that? Out of love, he said, I don't want him to carry something. So he doesn't need to carry. He's the Supreme Lord. He's the Lord and Master. So I don't want him to carry anything.
Thank you so much. Yes. And also Nityananda was, Krishna says in the Gita, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shrishtam. The system of Varanashram is created by me. So Nityananda is looking at him and saying, why you have to be a sannyasi? You create this system. Why do you have to be in the system? You are beyond all of this. And so in this way, he broke his dandha and he came. And then, yeah, Mahaprabhu fainted. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was converted. And then you spoke beautifully about the propagation. So yes, we are diving into Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Charitam Rita Nitya Karapan Jaha Hoite Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. He says, brothers, sisters, Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karapan. Just read Chaitanya Charitamrita every single day. Jaha Hoite Premananda. You will become very, very happy. Bhakti Tattva Gyan. And you will get all the knowledge required to perfect your devotional life. So let us take this opportunity to thank Srila Prabhupada for giving us Chaitanya Charitamrita and Vaishnav Sangha. Because with these things, life becomes beautiful. So I'm very happy to be with all of you today. Thank you for allowing me to come and share something with you. And I hope one day we'll meet in person. ISKCON is a small world. Maybe you'll come to London. Maybe, you know, we'll come there. Maybe we'll meet in Vrindavan, Mayapur. I'm sure we will. But otherwise, thank you so much and wishing you all the very best. And thank you to my dear friend and guide, Pran Govind Prabhu. I don't know if he can still hear us, but my obeisances to you, Prabhu. And thank you for your kindness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Shutapapibu, before we let you go, can I just make a request on behalf of all of us here in New Orleans? We'll request you through Gopal Radha Prabhu or maybe Pran Govinda Prabhu to come many more times in future and give us your association and wonderful way you are presenting your scriptures, all the scriptures of Srila Prabhupada. So that we also be educated and will be easy for us to understand, like you made it last 15 minutes so easy. So this way we want to request you, please keep us in your mind that we'll be requesting you many more times. Thank you.
Sorry, my apologies. The connection crashed. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah. Prabhu.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Prachetha Prabhu. When you began speaking, the connection crashed. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, just repeat it briefly. Wanted to say that our special request from all of us here in New Orleans, that we're going to be looking forward to have you many more times in future, to have your association and the way you put it in a so wonderfully, so make it so easy. So Gopal Radha Prabhu and maybe other devotees, Pran Govinda Prabhu, will be in touch with you. So please come and give us your association.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So thank you so much to Sutapa Prabhu for joining us and enlightening us and drowning us in the ocean of Gaur Katha, making it so much relishable. Usually in the material sense, when we see drowning, we relate it to pain and suffering. But in the spiritual sense, drowning is only ecstasy. So thank you very much for joining. And now, to close the session, I'll just request if anybody has any appreciation, comments for Prabhu, they can add. And following that, I'll request our host for tonight's session, Vishnupriya Didi, to appreciate Sutapa Prabhu on behalf of ISKCON New Orleans. Thank him. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Koti koti dhanyavad onto your lotus feet. Thank you so much for enlightening us and illuminating our hearts. We just want to express our most sincere gratitude towards you. This is actually just a dream come true to be in your association, to have your association. Everything you have said, it was so amazing and incredible, and it just touched our hearts so much. And we really hope that we can hear from you again and again. And please do visit us whenever possible. We know that you're very busy. You're so engaged in serving Srila Prabhupada. And I just wanted to express my gratitude to you for creating this work of art, not just with Chaitanya Charitamrita, but Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, and so many other seminars that you do to engage everyone, especially the youth. So you are truly very inspiring for all of us. And thank you so much once again, Prabhu. I did want to ask a question earlier, but I didn't get a chance. We know that you were speaking on how we can come closer to Krishna by deepening our consciousness. And one of the ways is to study Shastra with focus. So I was wondering, how can we actually strengthen our focus and be steady in studying the Shastra and be steady in our sadhana? Because I know personally, I'm so distracted all the time, especially with my material education on this side. It feels very overwhelming all the time. So I was just wondering, and I'm also asking this on behalf of my sister as well. So if you can please enlighten us more.
Thank you for your kind words. It's a challenge for all of us. Even when I joined the temple, I thought, okay, that's it. I'll get so much time to read. And I think I read more of Prabhupada's books before coming to the temple than even in the temple. It was, life is busy. Life is full of responsibilities. Somehow what we have to do is create a sacred space in our life, you know. Ideally early morning. You know, when we wake up and we just have that discipline that we chant and we connect with Shastra first thing. And that space, we never compromise it. We never allow anything else to take it over. Begin small, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, but protect it, you know. The main thing in life is that we have to create protected time for Krishna that never... that doesn't, you know, get taken over or hijacked by other things. You'll be surprised that if you read Shastra every single day, actually how much you read sometimes, obviously the more the better, but even if you do a little bit, but you do it every day, you'll be surprised, number one, how many books you will be able to go through and how the knowledge and the words of Prabhupada will build within your heart. Regularity is such an important thing. You see, when you break regularity, then, you know, it takes often 1 or 2 weeks to kind of get back into it, get back into the thread of the book and, you know, warm yourself up again. But when you're reading every day, you keep that momentum. So I think, number one, try to have that sacred space. Number two, just regularity, even if it's small. And number three, I think what you're doing here is powerful, you know, like create structure and read together and read it in such a way. One of the reasons we created these books is so devotees feel like they're getting through the books, you know, and they're understanding the overview and they feel like they're progressing. So when you study Shastra and you feel like you're remembering things, you're grasping it, you're getting the overview, then your confidence grows and your desire grows as well. So take advantage, like online now, there's such a resource, you know, like devotees are doing courses left, right and center, different things. Take advantage, you know, and then, yeah, And let me just say one general thing on time management. I have this firm conviction in my life that, because I've seen it, that when we don't waste time, then what Krishna does is two things. Number one, he empowers you to do more in the small time you do have. And number two, he will begin to open up windows of time for you to do more. But the precursor is we have to make sure we're not wasting time in our life. And if you show Krishna that you don't want to waste time, that if Krishna, you give me time, I'll use it properly, Krishna will actually, in a magical way, start opening up more and more time. So have the desire, create the practical arrangements, and Krishna will help. Some thoughts.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. That was very, very helpful. We'll definitely try to practice this, and please bless us so we can have the desire to serve Srila Prabhupada and increase our sadhana. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Gopal Radhe Prabhu, you may have to excuse me. I'm just running on to...
Yeah, I'm sorry. We just don't want to leave you.
No, I love to. I love you. Love to be with all of you. Just life is like that, you know. We're all kind of zooming from one place to the next. Thank you so much for welcoming me into your sangha and allowing me to do some seva for you. Every Vaishnav is special. Every Vaishnav is bringing so much light to the world. And so we have great appreciation for you all. And hope we'll meet again soon.
Thank you.
Hey, Hare Krishna. All the best. Hare Krishna.